Medina at first. And a pitch to Fernando, hit in the air to deep center field. Rodriguez is back. He's at the wall. This one, gonna go! Oh, Fernando! Third of the inning for the Padres. A two-run shot and a 4-1 lead as the drought comes to a close.
Ask and you shall receive, Jesse. You said he wanted to get in on the home run barrage, and he does anything you can do, I can do better.
That was Fernando Tatis Jr. last night. A big two-run homer put the Padres in pretty good shape. At the time, a 4-1 lead did not hold up. Seattle won the ball game 9-6. Game two of the series tonight, Dylan Cease looking for his first win of the year on the road against a pretty good Seattle team, I would say. Mariners have beaten the Padres all four meetings so far this year. It was great to see Fernando, though, back in the home run column. I mean, he himself had to be wondering, like, how long is this drought going to be? I mean, a month? 132 plate appearances, 27 games, 32 days. That's a lot of nights putting your head on the pillow. You know what I mean? Like, okay, when am I going to hit one of these fastballs that they groove to me over the fence again? I used to do it quite often.
If he doesn't think about that before he goes to bed, then he's probably...
He's not human.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, because I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, lots of people are thinking about it.
I know they are.
And he's a guy who feeds off of the big play.
Well, I agree. And yes, he's doing a great job, his on-base percentage and the walks and not swinging at bad pitches and setting up the count. But I still think a powerful Fernando is a more dangerous Fernando.
For sure.
Moving forward, we'll see what happens tonight. Padres hit four home runs last night, lost. First time that's happened in 5 years. So let's just go ahead and hit four more home runs tonight, and we'll take our chances, Scraby.
Yeah, I'll see take
that. See what happens. Dodgers with the one-game lead after they shut out the Reds last night. 7-0. Same meetings tonight. Dodgers host the Reds. Padres host, or no, rather, play in Seattle. Sam Levitt's pregame show is coming up. In about 15 minutes, NFL fans, stick around. Got all the latest news on big names that were cut today. A couple of injury designations that will change the way you put together your fantasy football team. And some other things of that nature. For you NFL fans, a lot of names you'll recognize on the move today, one way or another. So we'll get you updated on that, as I said before the end of the show. But right now, Scraby, one move made by the Padres.
Yes.
Prior to the game tonight, J.P. Sears. I wonder if this is, you know, just because they want to get another reliever in there. Or is this going to be, you know, no more J.P. Sears? What do you think? I don't know. He gets sent down and Alec Jacob comes back.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means. Jacob's another bullpen arm, which they need, but they're not going to go with a four-man rotation. Some people think they might go with even... I read today that when Michael King comes back, and now Kevin Acey is saying that may not be for a week or so, but when he does come back, that the Padres could even go six-man. I don't know why they would want to. J.P. Sears... Short sample size, but to me, hasn't been good enough to earn one of those even six spots.
I agree. So he's had three starts for the Padres, two of them suspect, one of them pretty good.
The results was good.
The result
was
good,
hit pretty hard, even though he got a bunch of outs. I haven't, you know, he hasn't done much for me yet, but that's not my call. I'd rather use Vasquez, frankly.
I would, too. I've been a Vasquez fan all year.
That,
I know. We have come full circle, people.
I never thought I would say that on Vasquez, but I feel more comfortable with him at the moment.
Beginning next Monday, MLB teams are allowed to carry another pitcher and another position player. So for the final month of the regular season, you get two more roster spots.
That's right. Very good. Yeah, September call-ups, as they say.
As they say.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I didn't think about that. I'm glad somebody mentioned that and got us up to date. With that information, but for now, wasn't there another no other roster?
I have Jackson. I have an update. Mike Schilt,
Jackson Merrill was out playing some catch. I knew there was something else.
Mike Schilt talked to everybody about Jackson Merrill and Michael King. So here,
let's get the latest on them.
Yeah. Let's start with Jackson and. where he's at progressive-wise. Is he doing any baseball activities? What's the latest on him?
No baseball activity. He's felt as good yesterday that he's felt since it's happened, and we're still in the process of evaluating.
Is it too early to anticipate him being back at some point in the Minnesota series?
We're not there yet. I mean, that's not to say it's too early, not to say it's too late. We just don't have that timeline for you.
Okay. How about Michael King? Where is he right now, and what's your anticipation of his timeline?
I think he's out in the outfield. couldn't help it, Doc. I think he's doing okay. You know, I mean, he felt as good as he's felt. I've been talking to him a little while ago. He's playing catch today, and then we'll figure out what it looks like for him moving forward. But there's a good chance he's going to throw up some kind of simulated game in the near future, but it really depends on how he plays catch and comes out today.
There he is, the man with no information at all, Mike Shildt.
I don't like how he said that about Jackson.
I don't mind. He's not. He just doesn't want to tell you.
Even I get it.
He might. The way he answered that question, Jackson Merrill could be in the lineup tomorrow, practically, and he just doesn't want us to know.
Okay.
Or he could be on the lineup 2 weeks from tomorrow, and he just doesn't want us to know. The fact of the matter, he can't return until the weekend, right? Because he's on the IL.
Yeah.
Michael King was due. IL stint would have been over today, the 26th. So make of that what you will. You have to kind of figure it out yourself because they're not going to tell you, and nor do they feel the need.
It seems like...
But we have to ask.
Yes,
you know,
we
the media has to say, what's the latest on Michael King? And Mike Shildt has to give you a song and dance to tell you nothing.
You know, someone on the chat makes a good point. So, well, they want to put a waiver claim in on Joe Ross, which I looked. Reliever.
Phillies?
Yep.
Okay.
And they also said, bring back Vasquez. And still, Kyle Hart. Remember, Kyle Hart came in that one game and was in relief, and he pitched really well. So maybe Kyle Hart's a guy you can... Like, would you rather have Kyle Hart or would you rather have J.P. Sears?
Right now, I'd rather have Vasquez.
I didn't give you that option.
I know, but I'm taking it.
Okay.
This is an online ranking of the top second baseman in Major League Baseball. Overall ranking. I haven't looked at this list yet.
Jorge
I'm
Blanco?
Revealing it one at a time. I just want to see where it comes down. Ketel Marte, number one.
Okay.
Seems fair.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Been really good.
Number two, Bryce Tarang. Brewers.
Oh, he's been really good.
I'm just reading them out as I see them. Number three, Nico Horner, Cubs.
He's also been good.
Number four, Gleyber Torres, Tigers.
All-star.
Oh, you know what? Why am I looking at second base? Never mind. Number five, Jazz Chisholm. Number six, Semien. I was looking at this to see where Arise ranked, but I forgot he's not playing second base anymore. So what am I wasting my time with?
So this whole time we've been talking about Arise. You're like, why is he not playing second?
No wonder people think he's not very good. He's out of position over there. He's playing way over toward the line. He shouldn't be that far over.
I do remember him saying to the media that he prefers playing second base over first base, but he'll go wherever they put him.
For those wondering, Jay Cronenworth, since I looked, is the 17th best second baseman.
See, the eye test tells me he's not the 17th best. It tells me that he's at least in the top 15. Ozzie Albies is having a terrible year. Is he?
I can't give you where Jorge Polanco is. I didn't even see him.
I don't even know if he is a second baseman. Shortstop and second baseman.
I'm trying to see who they have for the Mariners as their second baseman in the rankings. I'm only seeing one at a time. That's why it's taking me a moment to
get
to
clicking through the slideshow.
Yeah, the slideshow.
Well, while you're clicking, Jorge Polanco has a 1.5 WAR this
year.
He's
the greatest, I know. Look, Adam already told me. Look, Adam trolled me today.
He did not.
He did, too. He came in here and said he was trolling me today.
Oh.
And he trolled me last night,
no,
and
he
denied it.
No. Okay, here's one thing we can't talk about. Chris took offense to Adam's quote-unquote tone over text message,
right.
But there is no such thing as tone in text.
I got a tone. I got a tone last night. Fernando homered. We had talked about it yesterday. It's been a long time since Fernando homered. So he homered. Immediately, I look in my phone. There's a text from Adam to you and I.
Yeah.
Chris, I wonder how you're going to respond to that. I felt a tone.
And there was no tone. I did not take it
that
way.
There was a tone.
I would have told you if I felt like it was a tone.
And what I wrote back later was, my response will be that I'm glad to see Fernando finally hit a home run. What should my response be?
You said, what actually am I apologizing for?
Exactly. I don't see. He wrote as if I owed an apology because Fernando hit a home run. I was like, what do I have to apologize for?
Adam, I know where you're coming from.
Adam!
I know where you're coming from. He was just trying to, you know, he was just trying to have fun.
Adam! It's not that serious now. There's 30 games to go with no more fun.
Oh, okay.
We can't have any more fun. We can't take another break, though. You NFL fans, stick around. Stuff you need to know for your fantasy draft because there are roster cuts and injuries that need to be dealt with, and you need to know about it after traffic. All right, Glenn and Chris, not wrapping up quite yet. Got about 15 minutes left. Then Sammy Levitt in with the Padre pregame show. A couple of quick baseball notes. You might have missed them today. Nathan Eovaldi, Texas, in the running for the Cy Young Award.
Yeah, he's having an amazing
year. Great year. Had he pitched one more game, he would have qualified for the ERA lead in all of baseball.
Wow.
Guess what? Not going to pitch any more games. Mm. He's out for the season. Happened evidently after his last start. Rotator cuff strain. But 11-3, 1.7 ERA. No more Eovaldi.
It has been bad the Rangers ever since they won the World Series.
That's okay. Like, would you take it?
See, that I've had this conversation before, and the answer is no.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Because there are people that are complaining about the Dodgers who won last year.
So what? Let them complain.
If the Padres win the World Series, there will be people in Game 4 next year complaining.
Don't care. Give me the one World Series. I will deal with what comes next. Jordan Alvarez is back with the Astros. He's been out since May 3rd. Big boost to the Astros who are trying to hold off the Mariners in the AL West. Jordan Romano has been a complete failure, disaster free agent signing for the Phillies. They put him on the IL today, and I'm surprised it just didn't really cut bait. He's got an ERA of 8.5, and that's like the whole year. He's been awful, awful. Joe Ross was released by the Phillies today. And the Major League Baseball schedule is out for next year. We went over this earlier. Padres open on March 26th, next March. Detroit will be the season opener. And Scraby properly pointed out that means we'll probably get Tarik Skubal first up next year.
Against
something changes.
Michael King?
Joe Musgrove?
Oh, yeah, Joe. I would love to see Joe
there. That's a ways off. The Yankees and Giants will be the very first game of the year next March 25th. I don't know. I haven't seen that.
The Padres are thinking that there's going to be a Mexico City series in late April against the Diamondbacks, but it hasn't been confirmed.
Okay. The entire Padres schedule, though, at least as far as the dates, are out. I have one right here. I'm sure Scraby can tell you how to get your copy.
Just go to Padres.com.
There you go. The one thing that I think is interesting it reveals is that the Dodgers come here in May next year and June next year. And then both series in L.A. are in the second half of the season. And the first one is actually 4th of July weekend in L.A., so before the All-Star break. Three of the four series will be before the All-Star break next year. And then they won't play all the way again until the end of September, the final week of the season next year in Dodger Stadium.
It's like we hear you. But
kinda.
Then
they give us one game after the All-Star break. That's not exactly hearing me.
Why couldn't they go home away? They had to go home away.
There's so much always made of the schedules. We're the only ones who care. Because honestly, the players just have to show up and play the games.
I want the old couple that used to make the schedule do it again.
Yeah. If you didn't know, I told somebody this the other day and they were blown away because they didn't know.
Some old couple
living in Connecticut used to sit there at their dinner, at their breakfast table, and make the schedule every year. It took them 3 months.
That is awesome.
It was two people.
That is awesome.
Did the whole baseball schedule for, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Finally got replaced by the world of the computer.
And it's not better.
Don't think it's better. All right, I promised some NFL notes to people, Scraby, so let's give them a few. Because there are some things starting to happen now, right? The cuts, the whole thing. And
what?
Well, I can't give you the notes if I can't find the piece of paper I wrote them on.
We were just talking about
I'm so old now.
God. Need to save that.
I know. It just drives me crazy. The things I forget and lose now. All right, couple of injury notes worth noting. Tyjae Spears. Titans running back.
Mm-hmm.
Killed me in the playoff last year, by the way. Had a huge game.
Right.
Right at the end of the season. He will be on the IR to start the year. So
yes.
He misses at least
four games yeah.
for the Titans. And Joe Mixon, Texans,
yeah,
he also misses the first four.
Big deal.
With an injury situation. So those are the injury ones. New team, old team, actually. Amari Cooper back with the Raiders.
I did hear this.
He was probably the biggest name the Bills had last year, but they never really gave him the... He never did anything.
I wonder if he's still... If he's just not
wonder.
Good anymore.
You just wonder, yeah. Why would he not have played last year? The Bills didn't really have any standout receivers.
He was traded, if I believe, in the middle of the season.
He was. I thought he was going to be a guy that Josh Allen went to, but never really transpired. All right, injury, Jason Sanders, not the end of the world, but the Dolphins kicker is not going to be in for a while.
What'd he do to himself?
I don't know. Mike McDaniel's probably kicked him.
That was Urban Meyer.
Yeah. Mike McDaniel said, I love his comment.
This is very Mike McDaniel.
Well, he goes, he's not going to go on the IR and miss the season, but he's out for the foreseeable future.
Mm.
Sounds like it could be just about any amount of time on that one.
Week 16 it is.
Let's see. A couple of news items. Najee Harris, out because of a fireworks-related injury,
yep.
has returned to the Chargers.
Oh.
And they're saying he could even be ready to play in week one.
Is he gonna be
a running back.
Is he going to be able to see?
I'm not going to make fun of the guy. I'm just telling you that he's supposedly back after the firework incident. They think he and Amarian Hampton, the other rookie. Hampton is the other rookie that's supposed to really be good this year, even though everybody talks only about Ashton Jeanty of the Raiders.
Ashton Jeanty has some incredible expectations that people
I've
are setting
I've seen people
for
are
him.
Saying he's going to get 2,000 yards this year. I'm like, really? Can you let him carry the ball once?
Seriously.
Spencer Rattler. He's the starting quarterback for the Saints.
Ugh.
He beat out the other guy, the second-round pick. Bo, or you know what I mean?
Tyler Shaw.
Shaw, thank you. First team Browns, we know Joe Flacco. Second team, Dylan Gabriel beats out Shedeur Sanders.
Wow, Dylan Gabriel did have a good preseason.
Shedeur will be number three, but he's on the roster.
I think that'll help.
Okay.
For him to sit back and kind of watch things for a little bit.
I think he's going to end up getting some time. We'll just have to wait and see. Here are some cuts of names that you probably recognize. Tommy DeVito, not the biggest deal.
Tommy Cutlets!
Yeah, Giants. Hunter Renfrow, Carolina.
What happened to him?
Wasn't that long ago that he was pretty good, right?
Let me go look at his stats, because it had to have been like 2 years ago.
I think 2 years ago he was pretty viable. Hunter Renfrow.
Let me see. He's 29 years old. He's still...
I know.
Hey, the 49ers are looking for some wide receivers.
They may pick a guy up like that. I mean,
2021, he had 103 catches for 1,038 yards.
103 catches?
And 9 touchdowns.
I know. So 3 years ago. They go fast in the NFL, man. They don't care.
That is crazy.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Seattle. He's kind of been on the way out lately anyway, but back and forth. Easton Stick, I just throw him out because Charger fans remember him as a backup. He's by Arizona. Here's a guy that was a Super Bowl winning running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, yeah, CEH.
New Orleans Saints, see you later.
He was like,
you know,
one of those
that's
guys
kind of the end of the road if the Saints don't need you this year.
That is true. Well, him and Cam Akers can go hang out somewhere.
Cam Akers didn't make the Saints either. Evidently, Alvin Kamara is like just going to Bogart every carry.
He's pretty good.
One last one. I'm only putting this in just to stick the needle on you a little bit.
Oh, gosh.
Because the man who scored the winning touchdown in the overtime Super Bowl a couple years ago, Mecole Hardman, was cut by Green Bay today. You remember him running into the end zone and then not knowing that the game was over?
Of course. Of course. He shouldn't have been on that team to begin with.
How did that make you feel when the guy who just beat you to win the Super Bowl didn't even know it?
It made me feel bad for him.
Oh, really? You felt bad for him?
Yeah, I felt bad for him because he's like, here he is, the biggest moment of his life, and he has no idea what's happening.
He did not know the game was over. Unbelievable.
I still can't handle the opinion of, oh, well, the Chiefs just had the 49ers figured out in that overtime because they had a plan. They were gonna walk. It's so much easier to say that they were going to walk, try for the walk-off, fail or whatever, after they've already converted the two-point conversion.
Let's be honest. The 49ers stuffed the Chiefs the entire day that game, right? Wasn't the score 3-3 or something in the third quarter? Maybe 6-3? The only reason the Chiefs were able to get down the field at the end of the game and get it into overtime and do everything that they did and win in overtime over, it pains me to say, but over a really good 49er team, there was only one reason they were able to do it. Number 15.
Patrick Mahomes.
That's it. You can give it to Andy Reid. You can give it to Spagnola. You can give it to this guy or that guy or blame this guy or that guy. The Chiefs won because the game was still in doubt and Patrick Mahomes had a chance to win it. And he did. It's just too bad. You knew, Scraby. You knew in your heart of hearts that when the 49ers kicked a field goal in the overtime and then the Chiefs got a guaranteed possession.
I didn't feel good.
You knew it was done. It wasn't that you couldn't stop them. You just couldn't. Mahomes wasn't going to be stopped.
That's all. With 5:46 to go, Butker kicked a field goal to tie it up 16. 16-16.
With 5:46 left?
Yeah, then Moody made a field goal with 1:53 to go to put the 49ers up. They have been so close to winning the Super Bowl over the
so
Chiefs.
So then the Chiefs
twice.
Went down and kicked another field goal to tie it and get it
with
into
no
overtime.
Time remaining.
Yeah.
You know, Brock Purdy, decent game. I mean,
The 49ers played their
patooties off.
Can I say that? Yeah, they played this hard. I mean, I thought, look, the two Super Bowl losses for your team were both pretty heart-wrenching to the Chiefs, I must say.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as a friend.
Thank you.
But just as an observer.
That was the first one.
But you lost two. And then last year, does anybody remember this? I mean, Chief fans don't ever want to remember it, but the score in the third quarter last year was Eagles 34, Chiefs nothing. Like, how did that happen to one of the best quarterbacks? Look, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, and he's almost unparalleled, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has been crushed in not one, but two Super Bowls.
But he's also played in like five.
I know, but he lost to the Buccaneers 38-9.
So it's either he has a really close win or he just loses by a lot.
But again, when you're the greatest quarterback of your era, that should not include two blowout losses in the Super Bowl. But it does for him.
It does. He's terrible.
Hey, look who it is out there.
He's been giving me the hurry up sign
Sam
for like
Levitt,
5 minutes.
He wants to do a
look at
pre-game
him. He's probably complaining about us being in here right now.
He's
so excited. Look how fired up he is right now.
He looks like Fernando after the ball sailed over the center field wall. Sammy Levitt's next. We're back after the day game tomorrow.
Yes.
Post game. Scraby and I will talk to you then. Enjoy it.
Bye.